now, the Brad Sessmann Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Great Thursday. Thanks for being with us. It is NFL Draft Day. It is Red for Ed Day. It is opening of Avengers Infinity War Day. It is the day after LeBron hit a game winner and acted like Michael Jordan. It is a day after Zach Greinke got shelled again. There's a few things going on. Plenty to talk about. We're going to have David Hines with us coming up at 10:20, the executive director of the AIA. Because we do so much around high school, and it's a big part of what we're about, community, 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 commitment to community. That's what I preached through the 6 years of doing this. There are high school softball, baseball, volleyball teams that are all looking to do their playoffs, and they are going to have to forfeit games because of this march by the teachers. There's 22% of the teachers that are not in favor of walking. The easy narrative is to say, well, let's just support the Red for Ed movement. And I have. I'm having had four kids that have gone through the school district, the Chandler School District, I'm very proud to add. But I want to hear from the AIA on their stance on all this and localize what's going on that front. Obviously, the draft is front and center, so we're going to start there. Eric is back today. We'll have Goody at the movies. Bill and I saw each other at Avengers Infinity War the other day. We did see it. I think Bill and I are probably pretty like-minded on it. If you're Marvel, you're gonna love it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what they do. Last night, unfortunately, I'm in a house where the lady I sleep with and I've slept with for the last 28 years, coming up on 29 next month, she's a Marvel fan. And our youngest son is a Marvel fan. So last night, while I'm trying to watch LeBron hit the game winner, suddenly the lights went dark and Thor Ragnarok was put on our DVR. I don't know why. And so I had to go into my office for a little bit. And then they dragged me out, made me sit through it, and I thought it was dreadful. Anyways, long story short, that is going to be the huge buzz along with the draft. So let's start there. What's on my mind on a daily basis, brought to you by Sagicor Now. Guys, you got to protect what matters most. Have you been to SagicorNow.com and gotten your free quote on life insurance? Very simple. Have you gotten your free quote on life insurance? And do you have family? Do you have people around you that you need to protect if something were to happen to you? Very straightforward here. All you have to do is go to Sagicor Now, Sagicor Now, log on and get your free quote. We appreciate Sagicor Now and their support. Good guys over there. You know, the Josh Allen story is the most interesting, I think, of the day. The most dynamic is what LeBron did last night. And what are the Cardinals going to do tonight is kind of fallen behind with the Josh Allen story, because Josh Allen touches so many bases. And it may well be, I don't know this, it may well be that Josh Allen comes into play with the Arizona Cardinals tonight in some way, shape, or form. If I'm to believe the NFL insiders, the Adam Schefters and the Mike Mayocks, Baker Mayfield is the number one pick, it sounds like, right now. But Josh Allen is what everybody is talking about today if it comes to the NFL draft. Why is it? It's not because of what he is on the football field or how he looked at Wyoming or, you know, his everything that he's done when it comes between the lines. No, it has everything to do with some tweets that he put out when he was 15, 16 years of age. Josh Allen put out some racially insensitive tweets, dropping the N-word, claiming he saw it on a television show. All of this stuff came out late last night. Late last night, so it's the day before the draft. And we can go back on this. Eric and I were talking about it earlier. When Tunsil was shown a few years back, and he was supposed to be, Eric, how high was Tunsil supposed to go? Was it
top 10, somewhere in the top 10.
And he ended up finishing out,
I want to say he was drafted around 18 by the Dolphins.
Because a clip came out of him doing a bong.
Yeah, wearing a bong mask.
Wearing a bong mask. And it came out the day of the NFL draft.
What timing!
What a stunning.
That is right? Such a coincidence.
Yeah, shocker, right? So now we have this new deal that's going on in football.
And by the way, just a side note, Laremy Tunsil has had a very, very underrated and very good pro career to this point. So
yeah, nobody's seen him with a bong mask on.
Well, whatever, on I mean, whatever the stigma was of him
maybe
on draft night, He's a good player.
I don't know.
I'm just saying. And here's another fact. Lots of NFL players smoke weed. I'm just saying.
Are you serious? Does this happen in other sports?
I just break news on the show. Whew. That's all I do.
Wow, that is a deep dive.
Yep.
I like it. So the tweets around Josh Allen were sent in 2012 and 2013. They no longer appear on his account. They contain racial slurs and other offensive language, according to Yahoo Sports. This one seems pretty simple, but when you're 15 and 16, and some of you are probably going to go down the line of you have to be held accountable for your actions. Yes, you do. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that he shouldn't be held accountable for what he did years ago. The accountability factor, though, on the day of the NFL draft or the night before, doesn't it seem rather suspicious? Why is it now we've come to a point of, if it really is a team that is wanting to tamp down on Josh Allen's value as being the number one overall pick, there's no way that this guy could be the number one overall pick if these offensive tweets were really done by him? Well, he's already fessed up to it. It's already fessed up to it. If I could go back in time, I would have never done this in a heartbeat, Josh Allen told Chris Mortensen on Thursday. At the time, I obviously didn't know how harmful it was and now has become. More from Josh Allen to Chris Mortensen. I hope you know and others know I'm not the type of person I was at 14 and 15 that I tweeted so recklessly. I don't want that to be the impression of who I am because that is not me. I apologize for what I did. Some of this is probably scripted by his agent. I got it. Or the assistant to 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 the assistant of the agent. Adam Schefter reported that his sources indicated that Allen's Twitter account was vetted in January and that the offensive tweets were removed then. Allen told Chris Mortensen he thought he had gone through his Twitter account a year ago. I had even typed in keywords to see if anything I had tweeted popped up that I needed to clean up, but nothing like these came up, or I just missed them. My agency even went over any past social media, and these didn't come up after I did the search. He said some of the messages may have been sent by friends, as they occasionally took to each other's phones to send tweets. I have done that. I have grabbed my wife's phone. I did it Sunday. Her Facebook was open, and I put Brad Sussmat as the most amazing, wonderful man in the world. And, of course, all of her friends laughed and said, well, we know that that's not true. So we had a little bit of fun. Do I believe that that stuff happens? Do I believe this? Sure, I believe that stuff happens. A team with a top five draft pick told ESPN's Adam Schefter that it knew nothing about the tweets and that it had never heard anything but positives about Allen. Allen also told Chris Mortensen that no teams have reached out about the tweets. He also said that he hopes his future NFL teammates will understand what happened and how he has changed. Having walked into locker rooms for years and years and years, of course they have. That's just part of the deal. Walking into locker rooms, and you may be thinking that I'm excusing what happened here. No, I'm merely pointing out that we do dumb things when we're 14 and 15 years of age. And if we put out everything that we did that was dumb when we were 14 or 15 years of age, I don't think any of us would be very proud of some of the things that we did when we were 14 and 15 years of age. Doesn't matter who it is. I just don't know if people had said, I got it all figured out. If they do, they're just burying their head in their sand. In my opinion. Now, tonight, when you're going to put millions and millions of dollars down on this player, if the Arizona Cardinals were to draft Josh Allen tonight, and there's a chance that they could. Who's to say they couldn't? You don't know. I don't know. I don't know if Josh Allen is going to be the number one overall pick. I don't know if Steve Keim wants to trade up to get him. I don't know. But the Cardinals are in need of a quarterback. It would make perfect sense that if any quarterback were to drop to them of the ones near the top, the Darnolds, the Allens, you get the idea, the Baker Mayfields, Josh Rosens, you understand where I'm coming from on this, that they would have to consider it. Should they not consider drafting Josh Allen because of this? The answer is, are you nuts? Of course you take him, in my opinion. Him walking into a locker room and having teammates look at him like, well, I can't believe you put that stuff out. Come on. Are you serious? So I do look at this as it's draft day hype. This is absolutely run over what LeBron did last night, which was one of the great 10 seconds that I've seen in all of my watching of basketball through the years. And so let's just show you the video of this, because there's been some controversy around this play as well. Here's what happened last night with LeBron.
And with 3 seconds left, Cleveland triggers in. James, 2 seconds, 1 second for the win. Oh! LeBron James delivers!
Okay, what you didn't see before then was LeBron blocked a shot on the other end of the floor. Victor Oladipo said it was goaltending. Of course, Victor Oladipo would say it's goaltending. It was pinned against the backboard. No, it was slapped off the backboard. It wasn't on its downward plane from my view. Now, if you're a LeBron hater, you're going to say LeBron got the call and all that stuff. LeBron didn't do anything here. There's no way today that any of the LeBron haters, and you know who you are going to say he pushed off, he did this, he traveled, he walked. You can't take, you just have to say, man, that was one of the great moments. That shot and then what he did earlier at the other end of the floor was as good as it gets when it comes to live sports. It really was. Today is Red for Ed, and it's going to impact high school sports too. I'm going to go in on the other side with David Hines, the AIA executive director, on that front. And we'll circle back more on the NFL draft around the Cardinals tonight. Not too happy with Zach Greinke. I'll explain why there, or you can read my thoughts over on the website. I wrote something up last night at sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. Pleasure to be on with them as well on their website and our television show on Fox Sports Arizona, 16 airings per week. Brad Sussmat, Football AZ. I wanted to have on today, as we go a number of angles with Red for Ed, and we'll get back into the draft. And the Diamondbacks are already up 3-0 today on the Phillies. But I wanted to do a bit of a deep dive because we've had a lot of people that have asked questions on the sports end of things involving high schools with Red for Ed. There will be a big march today down at the Capitol. This impacts almost a million people across our state, because it's not just in Phoenix. It's across the great state of Arizona. And so this does impact sports. What happens if a coach decides that they are not going to be participating with their team? I face this with my seventh grade son out at his junior high school. They canceled a track meet today. They're not going to participate. There will not be points awarded and so on and so forth. The kids won't get a chance to play. I'm not coming down on the teacher slash coach. It's just that's what's being impacted. But at the high school level, it's a little bit different because you have PowerPoints. You have teams that are in playoffs. You have kids that are wanting to have colleges and scouts look at them in baseball and softball, so on and so forth. So it's always good to have David Hines come on board with us, the AIA executive director, for a couple of minutes just to talk about Red for Ed from the standpoint of how it impacts high school sports. I have not seen you in a while. How are you?
Doing great, Brad. Thank you for having me on.
Sure. I just am curious, David, what is the impact on the sporting community with Red for Ed that you are seeing today, with this being the first day of the walkout?
Well, and I appreciate that, Brad, and I think that everyone needs to know we certainly support our teachers and, you know, the cause and all the things that need to do to protect our coaches and our teachers. But you're correct. It does have a huge impact. So we are at the conclusion of the end of our seasons and preparing for state tournaments. Fortunately for today, we don't have any true contests with the exception of maybe boys volleyball. So for regular season, the discussion that we had with our executive board and with constituencies around the state was if it's a regular season game and if we could not play that game as scheduled, a couple options is try to make sure that that game gets made up before the end of the season, or if it just flat can't be made up, then that game, you know, with the both schools agreeing, could cancel that game, which in and of itself is just recorded as no contest, as okay. There was nothing, no points, anything. But when it comes to the state tournament, we have a real different animal. A couple things. you know, we're running hundreds of games over the next week or two. And so it does affect a lot of people, but we also have contracts that have been signed, venues that can't be moved. And so with discussion with a lot of the membership, the decision was we will move forward with our state championships as scheduled. And with that, most of the schools or school districts were looking at coaches' contracts and teacher contracts somewhat in two different lights.
Sure.
Because a lot of our coaches are not teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a lot of different people that are on different, they're not different sides, they're on the same side, but it's a different situation. And we're here to protect our kids. And the kids that have an opportunity to compete in a state championship is a once-in-a-lifetime maybe for some of these kids, and we don't want to put them at that because our only other option would be to cancel.
Yeah.
And that would not be, I don't feel, in our best interest to do that.
So it's interesting. There's a lot there that you gave us to chew on. David Hines with us, the AIA executive director. You do have many coaches that just come in and they do coach. They have other jobs. They have other businesses. But you do have those that are on-campus teachers. There's a 22%, I believe, David, you can correct me on this, but 22%, I believe, is what I saw of those who said, we are not going to participate in walking or marching. So you do have teachers, and I'm sure some of them are coaches who do want to show up. You do have signed contracts for those venues. I guess the question I have today on day one of this, if we're sitting here having this discussion by Monday or Tuesday, it's going to be a different narrative from you, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's good. Yeah, the thing that, you know, one of the things to keep in mind and as athletic administrators, our athletic directors, for the most part, are not teachers.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the administration. So as I did as a high school AD, there's options to have those kids coached. It's just could be by the athletic director.
Got it.
Could be by another certified administrator. It could be by another certified you know, person that has been approved by the governing board of a particular school or school district. So there are some options. I do understand if coaches determine or a district determines that if you're walking out, you can't coach, then that decision is then left with the school or the district to determine will they have somebody else coach those kids or will they make the decision that, you know, we're just not going to participate. And that would have to be an individual school or school district. Because as the Arizona Interscholastic Association, we have no authority or we have no control over personnel issues at our member schools.
So you could have a dad who says, I'll just step in because the coach is walking.
Well, we do have some bylaws.
Yeah.
That just not a parent can do that. But if there is a certified parent that the board, their school board, has approved.
Got it.
Then that would be an option for the school. But it does, you know, there could be, and kind of a not a good situation for us per se is to have a parent show up with their student that is not certified because we cannot go against our bylaw. I can't change the bylaw or the rule in some of those situations. So that is a challenge.
So, and who would enforce that? Because you have so many games, and as I said off the top with you, right? I mean, as I said off the top, this is statewide. I mean, out on the res, up in Flagstaff, yeah. I mean, you can't have personnel all across the state on this deal. So,
correct. Yeah, and you know what, honestly, across the state, it's a little all over the board. Some schools or school districts have said, we're having school. And they're moving on, you know, as they're scheduled. Other schools are completely closing, even if a teacher wanted to go to work. So, you know, the challenge is 261 member schools that all have maybe a different scenario of which they're or how they're going to how they're going to handle that while we're trying to coordinate, you know, many, many games.
I'll let you go off that, and I appreciate your time and your insight on this, because it's not an easy subject. I've had a lot of questions about it. I thank you for explaining, David. Sure. We'll see you soon. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Brad.
Take care. David Hines. I didn't want him dying on the air. I could tell it was going to be one of those deals. We like David a lot, right, Eric? I mean, we have no problems with David.
No, I like David a lot.
David is one of the really good people in administration that I've come across through 35 years of being in the business.
He is in it for the good of the student athletes and the coaches.
He's
not in it for any sort of personal satisfaction or gain.
No, and
which is at times hard, because there is a lot of greed in high school.
There's no question
on a day-to-day basis almost.
But but in his space, he also has been in the unpopular end of things at times. You have to.
Oh yeah, when you're sitting in the big chair, yeah. You can't make everybody happy.
But I can imagine that. Like, if my son, he's a seventh grader today, so they canceled his track meet. And I'm disappointed in that, because I think he's getting better at throwing shot and discus. He's competing at the junior high level. That stuff's all wiped out. The high school level, these kids that are trying to get better times for state or are trying to show colleges what they're able to do, it's been a tough month. I'm going to go deep here on you for a second. It's been a tough month in track because we've had wind. We've had weeks of wind. I've been to three track meets that have been dust bowls. Like, what are we doing out here? And I know that April can be a windy month, but you want these kids to get their best times. So, good at the movies in a bit. I'm going to circle back on the draft. Blake Barnett is gone again. He's decided to punch his ticket and go elsewhere. And what does that mean for Arizona State? Much more after this timeout. A reminder about, as the day progresses, Eric and myself and Jordan and Haley, we are all going to be, I think Haley less than the other three of us, are all going to be out today and tonight. Things around the Cardinals and around the draft, some local stories that we think are really interesting around the NFL draft. Jordan did a piece with Archie Bradley that a lot of people are checking out. That's really cool. Archie, of course, was a quarterback at Oklahoma. So he weighed in on the quarterbacks that he sees this year. And I also weighed in on Spencer Rattler out of Pinnacle High School. And that story is up on the site, and it's doing very, very well. There's also a deep dive that Perry Cohen wrote on the idea of, when you get recruited by the Ivy League, it doesn't automatically mean the same set of circumstances, say, getting recruited by Arizona State or USC or Notre Dame. What is getting recruited by the Ivy League really all about? You can read that over on our website, too, at sports360az.com. Today, just so you know, today is day number 2,891 that Robert Sarver has held the Suns hostage. The last time they had a playoff game was 7 years, 10 months, and 30 days ago. Just so we're clear about what's going on with the owner and the great job he's doing in screwing up this franchise. Robert, you're coming up on 2,900 days. Knock yourself out. Next time you have a chance, Robert, you're going to be at 3,200 days thereabouts. Beautiful. Zach Greinke. So when someone tells me that the Diamondbacks pitching has become a concern, pitching is always a concern, okay? And the Diamondbacks pitching, outside of the last couple of days, Robbie Ray was in the rain and he struck out 11. Zach Greinke last night was not Zach Greinke. Gave up a big 3-run home run. Zach Greinke so far this season has an ERA near 5. He's 2-2. He's getting paid $34 million this year. This year, $34 million. We had Pedro Gomez on the show yesterday, and he said point blank that general manager Mike Hazen has built up enough equity that he could go to Ken Kendrick and convince Ken Kendrick, I have a deal in place, and that Ken Kendrick would have to eat some money, but he wouldn't rule out them trading Greinke. I'm of the opinion, and have been of the opinion, you got to get out from under this contract to move forward on some things. Patrick Corbin is having a great year, and he's going to be a free agent at the end of the season. Patrick Corbin has made himself a lot of money in the first 4 weeks this year. I don't know if he's going to go 4-15. I don't think he's going to. He's looked really good. They said, you're the number one starter. You're our guy. And he's proven it so far. AJ Pollock is a free agent at the end of this season, along with Patrick Corbin. Paul Goldschmidt is sitting there with a below-market contract for like the fourth year in a row that I've been on this topic of they've got to get that figured out. When you have $34 million tied up in a player, You expect that player, especially if it's a pitcher, to every fifth day go out and absolutely dominate. And he has not done that. Now, does that mean that he is untradeable? Does that mean that he is hurting the franchise? Well, the untradeable part, the Diamondbacks would have to say, we're going to eat some salary. And if you're the Boston Red Sox and you've gotten off to a great start, or you're the Angels and you've gotten off to a great start, if it's a team that has the flexibility financially, the New York Mets have gotten off to a very good start. You go look at the teams that have the dollars, that have the market, and you go to them and say, we are considering and thinking about trading Zach Greinke. I'm of the opinion that even with this great start, and even with the injury to Taijuan Walker, if you sit there for this whole year and don't address Greinke, you're going to lose Corbin and you're going to lose Pollock. And you still may lose them. They both probably have agents in their ears saying, look, you go out on the open market, man, you're going to go kill it in Baltimore. You're going to go kill it in Seattle. You're going to go wherever it is where they've got dough floating around. So they've got to make a really hard call here. And the fact that they've gotten off to such a great start and Greinke has had very little to do with it. Yeah, he's pitched a good six innings here and a good six innings there. I haven't seen Zach Greinke be the dominant Zach Greinke from a couple of years ago. It's no different than Randy at the end of his career. Zach's had a 15-year career. And if you're not going to address Greinke, if you're just going to say, well, that's crazy talk, you're out of your mind, then you're going to lose both Pollock and you're going to lose Corbin. You're not going to have a shot at them. So I'm not saying that they've got to go out and flush the season because they've already gotten off to a great start. They have the best record in the National League. But if there's been a disappointment to me, so far this season, and every team has a disappointment. Clayton Kershaw is 1-4. He lost again last night. And he walked six. He never walked six. The more interesting side to this story is that next Monday night in our little town in downtown Phoenix, Zach Greinke is facing off against Clayton Kershaw. Yeah, it feels like the Diamondbacks are playing the Dodgers in Phoenix every other day. I understand that, or every other homestand. But it's Greinke v. Kershaw next Monday night. Both pitchers have been a disappointment so far this season. There's no other way to put it. You can't sugarcoat it. So what do you do? If you're Paul Goldschmidt, you're sitting over there at first base, I don't know how he's doing it without losing his mind on the organization. He's the 12th highest paid first baseman. You trade Greinke, you get back a haul of young players, you go to Goldschmidt's people, you sit down and say, we have X now that we can give you in a new deal, let's get it done. Instead, we're still sitting here. And the narrative I get from down there is, well, we don't really have to address, we don't have to address it right now. I don't know how Paul Goldschmidt's people are going to take that. Or if they've already taken it and said, you know, there's just going to come a point where we walk away. And the same thing with Pollock and the same thing with Corbin. Eric, where are you at on this one with Greinke? Where would you just a slow start and you hang in there because he's Zach Greinke?
No, I trade him. I'd try to deal him as soon as possible.
Like today,
yeah,
right? You wouldn't wait until July 1st. And you know how I am on this, the calendar. It's where are you at on Memorial Day? Where are you at on 4th of July?
Especially the way Corbin's pitched. I mean, it's not just a small sample size now. I think we kind of know what they're going to get from Patrick Corbin. And he is technically the ace right now. He's pitching like the ace. He's taking the role of the ace. He's been outspoken and saying, I want to be the guy. And yeah, it just, as we've talked about on the show, Brad, that, I mean, it's an albatross. That huge contract number they could use that money to distribute it not only to Goldschmidt, but to other players too.
But they have the best record in the National League.
Which is great.
If they're Cincinnati, that's 3-18, they fired their manager, it's pretty easy. You pare down the roster.
Yep, former Diamondbacks coach, Brian Price.
Brian Price, gone. See you later. But if you're sitting here with the best record in the National League, is it that cut and dry? Like, you're more definitive than I am, even. Because I don't want to see them throw it away. They're going to come back to earth some. But I think that if it's John Lackey who comes here, and if it's Shelby Miller who gets activated in mid-June,
yeah, we'll see.
You're putting a lot of faith in Shelby Miller if
right.
you trade Greinke. But it's not like you're going to get nothing back for Zach Greinke. You figure you're going to get something back for him.
And at the worst case, you're going to get some prospects, and you can never have enough prospects.
Sure, sure. Well, and it's like today. You know, they're winning again in Philadelphia. They're up 3-0. They're going to win another series, maybe, if they hang on.
Which would be, what, 8 consecutive series, I believe, to start the season?
And they're doing it with a youngster Cook is throwing today. So Cook's throwing, and Cook was very good the last time. Now, they're going to figure him out eventually.
And as you mentioned, they're going to hit some stumbling blocks because it's a long season. But when you put yourself in position in the first couple months of the year,
you can do this.
You can absolutely do it. It's always better to be the chased than the chaser.
I just think that there's not that much of an uproar or outcry of we got to keep Greinke here. I think more fans and people that follow it every day are to the point of we see what's going on. I'm not hating on Greinke, by the way. This is a business call more than anything. The easy thing to do is you keep Zach Greinke in the rotation because, wow, they've been really good. But when his ERA is 5, and last night it was a big, fat, right over the plate jack out of the ballpark. So I just feel like I'd make the move here in the next few weeks. I wouldn't be sitting here on the 4th of July on top of Greinke. I think at some point you got to go to Goldschmidt and you got to go to Corbin. You've got to go to Pollock in their own separate ways and say, can we keep you here? Of the three, I'd probably expect Pollock to go. And that's probably an easier player to replace, even though he's an all-star, and I like him a lot. But can this organization possibly keep those three? If you keep Zach Greinke here, there's not a chance. Not a chance. All right, Good Eat the Movies is next. We're going to talk about Avengers. We're going to talk about ships blowing up and characters. I'm going to do spoilers. No, I'm just kidding. We'll do that with Bill Goodykoontz on the other side. He's got a couple of other movies as well. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, and you know the draft is coming up, and all of that, and Red for Ed is on my mind, too, it's time to have some fun with Bill. Goody at the Movies, chief film critic for Gannett and AZ Central, Bill Goodykoontz. I saw Bill. We waved affectionately at one another, blew kisses before Avengers Infinity War, and then Bill was out of there as soon as the movie ended. I had to sit through, I don't know, just person after person raving about this movie. I will give you my thoughts just in a nutshell. It wasn't that great, but it was fine. Go ahead. Knock yourself out.
I'm with you. The thing about these movies, particularly Marvel movies, is there's two camps. One side goes in and they're going to love it no matter what. And I think that in an embarrassing fashion, which we can talk about if you want to, that theater where we saw it was filled with that. It was just, I thought it was unprofessional, but assuming they were critics. And then the other half is some people just can't like Marvel. I mean, they can't, you know, they go into these things with a bias. I'm trying to not be in either camp. I mean, I just see the movie that's in front of me. Some of them I like, some of them I don't. This one was fine, but it was way too much. I mean, there was not enough story for all of the characters. And even I don't think you'd ever hear me say this again, probably about any other movie, but it almost wasn't long enough. I mean, there was a time there, and this is the truth. I'm not going to spoil anything, but you know, you're sitting there watching it, and Thor kind of gangs up with some of the Guardians of the Galaxy people, and some of them go off on a trip to another planet. So they go off, and then you know, you go do these other things on different planets. I honestly forgot for about 20 minutes that Thor was in the movie. They came back, and it was like, oh yeah. Well, they're good. Yeah, I like him. Good. They're good. I'm glad to see him again. It's just the whole thing was like that.
I just felt as though there wasn't enough of a storyline to it, in my view. It was just kind of like, okay, I know at the end we're going to have a monumental war with all sorts of cool little gimmicks and gadgets, and I know that this isn't going to be the last one, and I'm not giving away much as well. I had to sit through Thor Ragnarok last night because my wife and my son are so geeked up to go see this. And And that movie was painful, and in my view.
Oh, I like that one.
Did you?
I
just thought the writing of it early was just, come on, guys. I know you're trying to be funny. And this movie's funny. Bill, I think we would agree. Avengers Infinity War did have some laughs in it. There are some very clever lines. But
it's got some good stuff. It's got some bad stuff. It's so damn long. It's got everything.
It's got, except a great movie.
Yes.
So we'll agree on that. All right. You saw The Rider. Tell me about The Rider, and was this movie any good?
It's great. It's fantastic. It's a movie that this woman who is from China, actually, but she went to NYU Film School. She's made a couple of other movies. And in one of them, she met a rodeo rider. And this movie is about him. He suffered a really severe brain injury, and he had to stop, doing the bucking bronco thing. But he's also a horse trainer. And he grew up on an Indian reservation in, I think it's in North Dakota. And they aren't actors. It's him. It's his developmentally disabled sister, his dad, their friends and stuff. But it's not a documentary. Mm. I mean, it's a fictionalized story, but it's based kind of on this guy's life. It's about a radio cowboy who can't do radio anymore. And it is fantastic. You really get caught up in it. And you really want, I mean, he's, even though he's not an actor, he's very much not an actor, he's got a real, magnetic personality. And not in a big showy way. And he's really quiet. He doesn't talk that much. But, man, you just want to see him, and you want to see him do well.
It sounds like a movie I'd get emotional at myself.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right.
And if you like horses, forget it, man.
Oh, really? Okay, and then the last movie is Wildling. Am I pronouncing that right? Wildling?
Yeah, Wildling. Yeah, I like it. It's one of these horror movies where it's sort of a metaphor for coming of age, but it's a little bit different. And this guy keeps this girl in an attic all the time. And he tells her that the doorknob is electrified and all this stuff. And he tells her, he's like, the reason I do this is to keep the wildling out. And he'll come in and you're the last child. He'll kill you. And, of course, that's not quite the case. So things happen where she ends up in the care of a woman who is the sheriff of a small town, and there's a lot of history and stuff, and it's just a very moody and atmospheric and stuff. If you like scary movies, it's good. I mean, if you don't, it's, not probably worth your time, but it is really good, kind of moody and atmospheric, and it's a sort of a long, long line of these sort of women's body issue movies that use other things to talk about it.
I got you.
I liked it.
All right. I zipped through those in somewhat of a quick fashion because I want to circle back on something you brought up, and that was the applause after Avengers Infinity War. When I sat down in the theater, and I took my daughter, it was her 24th birthday. You can bring a guest to some of these things. I took her. Whenever you and I get together, I want to make sure that I'm prepped, so I go to some of these screenings. I don't go to all of them, but I go to some of them, and I don't sit there and applaud. I did find myself laughing, so on and so forth. Bill, there are people behind me and in front of me before this screening that were just had way too much market knowledge or guessing on this. It was like the game of Clue. And I don't know if they were there with notebooks or not. Professor Plum in the library with a candlestick. And it was kind of borderline like, we're not a Comic-Con. We're here to screen a movie. You know what I mean by that?
At 100%. And it reminded me of a couple things. One is, when I used to work in sports, one time they sent me to Nebraska because ASU was going to play Nebraska. They thought it'd be a fun trip for me. So I covered, I went and I read Sidebar, something like that. I don't know. And in the press box at Nebraska, like every press box in America, it says, cheering and rooting for teams is not allowed.
Right.
They completely ignored it. The Nebraska writers openly cheered when Nebraska won like 77-0 or something. It wasn't quite that, but it was a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a lot to cheer if you like Nebraska. And they were repeatedly having to say, like, wink, wink, nod, nod, come on, guys, no cheering. They ignored it. It was embarrassing to me. And then I'll say this about TV and movies. When I wrote about TV, I was a member of the Television Critics Association. We had bylaws. And if you're going to be a member of this organization, you had to follow them. You can't ask for autographs. You can't, right. You can't get somebody to record an answering machine message for you. You can't, there are a lot of things you can't do, and you can't, you don't cheer. it used to throw people off when we'd have press conferences, particularly the comics. They're like, well, why aren't you guys clapping for me? It's like, we don't do that. This isn't a performance. This is an interview.
Right.
And what this reminded me of, and what my hope is that they were not critics. Because nobody could call themselves a critic who behaved the way they did. People came in wearing Marvel T-shirts, which, yeah, again, would be like if you wore if you were doing a straight news story about ASU at a football game. If you wore an ASU football T-shirt,
oh yeah,
I mean that's what that's like.
Yep.
You know, wait, no, that's not what we do. And there was somebody sitting behind me, and he was just like, woo, every time. And he's like, yeah, come on, be this. And it's like, no. That, for one thing, some of us have to actually pay attention to what's going on here,
right?
Because we have to write about it in about 30 seconds after it's over.
Right.
And for another, it's, of course you can get, I love movies. I cry at movies. I laugh at movies. And you react to movies, but you don't cheer the existence of the movie. I mean, it's just, and there's no overriding, you know, bylaws or anything that govern the way that people behave in movies, other than, you know, don't turn on your cell phone or something like that.
Right.
But I just thought it was ridiculous, and I feel like this is inside baseball. Anybody who's going to pay $15 or whatever it is to go see this movie doesn't care. I think one place it does come into play is, these are the people who are kind of helping to shape the narrative of whether this movie is any good or not.
Right.
And they loved it before the first frame hit the screen.
Yeah, there was nothing that could be done to sway them otherwise. I have to ask you this. You come from a family of educators, correct?
Sort of, yeah. My grandmother's a teacher. Hey, I'm a teacher. I teach at ASU.
Yeah, and I teach too occasionally. But the Red for Ed movement, what has struck you about this?
I think that I was talking about somebody about this the other day. I don't know if it'll work. I don't know if it'll, you know, I don't know if the methods are good. I don't know really what the ultimate aim is. But what I think is fascinating about it is that it fits into this larger picture. I think that since Trump was elected, whether you like him or you don't like him, there's been a real rise in activism. And, you know, for since the 60s, that kind of waned, you know. People got mad about stuff, and in the 80s with apartheid and stuff, sometimes campuses with protests and stuff. But this is one of the biggest walkouts in recent history, mm-hmm. you know, when it comes to the education, and anywhere, not just Arizona. And I don't know. I don't know if they're going to get what they want. I'm not exactly sure what it is they do want, but I do like the spirit of activism, and I like the idea that people are finally doing something other than, you know, sitting around complaining on the couch, and they're actually getting up and, you know, walking down to the Capitol and doing something about it. My son today wanted to go to the Capitol. I got to go to the movie. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, but it's the, you know, on my end, I'm seeing how we in the media are covering this, and I'm seeing people that are parents that are on the air that are starting to let their guard down somewhat. And that would have never happened, speaking to your point about cheering openly at movie screenings, or if I'm in a press box wearing a Diamondback shirt. I'm seeing people that are on the air this morning in particular. I'm watching the morning news, and there's moms and there's dads. They're not just the faces, and they're well-known names if I said who they were. And they're clearly taking the side of teachers in this.
Well, or not. I mean, I don't know if you saw. I mean, we've written a story about it. A lot of people have written a story about it. Carrie Lake.
Carrie Lake, yeah.
For Channel 10.
Yep.
She tweeted and put on Facebook about how this is just a front to legalize marijuana. And it's like, whoa. Now, wait a second here. It's like, look, you work for Channel 10, Fox. You don't work for Fox News, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I know Carrie, and you probably know Carrie well enough. That did raise eyebrows. You know, it's
People shouldn't be. They shouldn't be doing that. I mean, unless you're an opinion person, and anchors kind of bridge that gap a little bit. I mean, you were a sports anchor. You know what that's like, and you know what a local market's like. To some extent, you have to play to the crowd. But you also have to remain maintain some sense of objectivity.
You would hope. And I'll let you
do, and I do, and we'll let the rest of them do what they want to do.
That's right. I'll let you go off that. Go to your screening. See ya. Thanks.
See ya.
There's Goody at the Movies, always, every week. Bill Goodykuhn, chief film critic for Gannett. dialing on in on this weekend. Yeah, I mean, I saw Avengers, and it is long. I mean, and if you're one of those people that has the small bladder, forget it, because it's almost 2 hours and 40 minutes. And there, you can't just kind of walk out there a couple of times. Or if you need your popcorn refilled, you're one of those people that, I got the free bag of popcorn. Forget it. You can't do it. Our chairman of the board is Edwin Rodriguez. Edwin gets it done. Eric Sorensen, senior executive vice president, every day of nothing or everything, depending on the day. He is with us as well. Jordan and Haley and our interns. Thanks to all of them. We are going to turn our attention over to the NFL draft. We will be very active on social and on the website tonight. We are on Twitter at Sports360AZ. Of course, our personal Twitter accounts as well, at Brad Sussmat, at Eric Sorensen, so on and so forth. You can check and find us out. Have yourself a great day.